You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Join us today via Skype, ChicagoFootball.com writer and USA Today's NFC North correspondent, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm better now. I got to ask when we're off the air if I can get Dan Mott to send me this snappy, funky opening for a ringtone, because I love it. Pops me up every week.
Me too. Here with us in studio, we have ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer JC Talon. JC, how you doing today?
Doing well.
All right. We are going to start with a little fun. Last week, we started real heavy in the podcast with some of the DFS issues. And some of those are still ongoing. We will get to them. We will address them. But we're going to start with something fun. We are about 5 weeks into the regular season here. If you're in a standard fantasy season-long league, you're maybe a third of the way through, maybe a little bit more of the way through. So we thought it would be fun to start with a 12-team standard league redraft for the first round. Thank you, Dan. We have selected the order at random, and it will go J.C. Talon with the number one pick. Arthur will go second. I'll go third. And we will repeat that all the way through the top 12 picks. So just a fun little thing to start off the podcast. With the first pick in the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast Standard League Redraft, J.C. Talon, you're on the clock.
We'll select Jay Cutler of the Chicago Bears.
Whoa!
No, I'm just kidding. Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh.
All right, going with Le'Veon Bell, sticking with him as the number one guy. He was generally the number one guy in 2015 ADP, so we're sticking with number one. Arthur, who do you have at number two?
I'll take Adrian Peterson, whom I had at number one, so I'm getting value here at the top of our redraft. I like it.
Wow, okay. I think I may be the first one to buck the trend of what the 2015 ADP was. For my pick, number three overall, I'm going with Tom Brady. He's got 102 fantasy points in a standard league. He's number four overall, and he's played one fewer game than pretty much everybody else. I'm rolling with Brady. He's been awesome, and he gets Indianapolis this week. Guys, that's a spoiler alert. This is a revenge game for Tom Brady. He could throw for 6-7 touchdowns, and it wouldn't surprise me against the Colts. We'll go with the number four overall pick, J.C. Talon.
Yeah, Brady would not have made it past four. That's who I would have gone with. Next, I'm going to go way off your 2015 ADP and say Devontae Freeman.
I like it. Why Freeman?
You know, that offense looks for real, and what's really surprising to me about the Falcons is that defense is playing very well. Who would it's hard to believe, but in the NFL, the coaching makes such a difference. They've got a good defense now. And they've always had offensive weapons, and Freeman would seem to be, as long as he doesn't get injured, he would seem to be the guy. So he's been very productive the last few weeks, and I think that's going to continue.
Freeman is the number two fantasy scorer overall. He's 32 points ahead of Jamal Charles, and that's going to grow, and he's 40 points ahead of Matt Forte. So, yeah, who would have thought, you know, 6 weeks ago we'd be saying, yeah, Devonta Freeman. You know, we were all talking about Tevin Coleman, but Devonta Freeman has been the guy, and he goes number four overall in our 12-team standard league redraft. Arthur, you've got pick number five.
And I guess I'm going to go off the beaten path here because my next three guys are all pretty close to what they would have been originally, and that's no fun. So I'm going to go down a little bit. I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. He has been a monster. Was noting this morning for all the Julio Jones talk, DeAndre Hopkins is actually a little bit ahead in yardage, and it seems to be his status seems to be immune to whoever's under center. So really love his breakout and big, big things in store the rest of the way with that terrible defense.
He's got 75 targets this year. That's crazy Amazing. To me, isn't it, Arthur?
It is crazy, and like I said, it hasn't strayed much, regardless of who's passing to him. And he doesn't have the big touchdown numbers yet, but he was overthrown last week, so those can still come. This is a true breakout, and I guess the reason I put him over Julio is I worry a little bit less from a durability standpoint right now.
Yeah, well, if you're going to take Hopkins, the next guy on my big board is Julio Jones. I'm going to take him at number 6 overall. He's the number 1 wide receiver. He's 18 points ahead of the guy in 4th. The injury, it's a little worrisome, but Julio, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, that X receiver just has a monster fantasy year every year. Julio is well on his way as long as he stays healthy. So that's halfway through. JC, pick number 7.
Tough choice here, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. Clearly the number 2 quarterback in the league, unless we believe Andy Dalton's going to keep this up. So I'll go with Rodgers.
All right, Arthur, the 8th pick overall.
All right, yeah, I can't go away from what seems obvious again, so I'm going to say Eddie Lacy. He's just screaming at me here. Hasn't really gotten going yet. Kind of feels a little bit like last year where he's just ready to erupt. So in that scoring offense, I will gladly take Lacy.
And Arthur, you mentioned it, but do you think Lacy is ready to go off for those of us that did draft him in a 12-team standard league and have kind of been waiting on him?
Yeah, I think it's bound to come. I mean, I certainly don't think the talent has diminished, obviously, for a young guy. He has managed to stay mostly healthy to this point. And, it really only seems like a matter of time. So I feel like that's a pretty safe pick here.
All right, with the number 9 pick overall, if I've got Tom Brady, I'm going to pair him up with Rob Gronkowski. Number 1 fantasy tight end right now with 60 points, again, in one fewer game than most of these tight ends out there. Gronk smash all over my team. I will take Gronkowski at number 9. JC Talon, your final pick for our redraft first round.
Yeah, you clipped me on that one. Okay, well, according to John Gruden, he had a beautiful long touchdown last night, Antonio Brown. Although it wasn't Antonio Brown, it was Martavis Bryant. I don't know. I know this is a sidebar, but those guys are brutal. Did you see the last play when Bell scored and Tirico first said, oh, his knee was down, definitively said that, and then he said, oh, no, it's okay because his knee fell on the defender's arm. And neither of those things had happened. He had broken the plane before his knee went down, and he didn't land on the defender's arm. But I digress. I'm going with Antonio Brown. You got Roethlisberger coming back. I think he's going to pick up right where he left off.
All right, Arthur, go ahead.
I honestly had a couple guys in here that would be a little more surprising, and maybe we'll just go over them quickly when we're done. But Matt Forte, he's leading the league in rushing, he's leading the league in attempts, and the Bears' defense is exceeding everyone's expectations. So I think they'll be able to steadily use him throughout games, and if Alshon Jeffrey ever comes back, there could be some more scoring opportunities for him as well.
I like that a lot. And so the last pick of the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast 12-team Standard League Redraft falls to me. The guy who's up on my highest on my board here, Larry Fitzgerald. He's been the number 2 fantasy wide receiver. Carson Palmer's locked in with him. Maybe he's found the fountain of youth. I don't know. But the way that they're targeting Fitzgerald, he's been just insane this year. I don't know why you wouldn't go with Fitzgerald. All right, so that'll do it. Let's recap the order here. Let's recap the draft. We went Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Tom Brady, Devonta Freeman, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Matt Forte, Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think anybody had that as their top 12 guys.
Nope.
Entering the season. Here's where the top 12 in a standard league this year. Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, so we got those top 2. Then Eddie Lacy, Jamal Charles, obviously none of us were going to be drafting him this time around with the torn ACL. Marshawn Lynch, who's been hurt, and Thomas Rawls has been outstanding. He's been the handcuff you want from the Seahawks. Antonio Brown, Gronk, Aaron Rodgers at 8, Matt Forte at 9, DeMarco Murray at number 10. He finally got going, sort of. CJ Anderson at number 11. He's been just, missing in action. And Odell Beckham, guy who I think if he was healthy, maybe we would have picked him in this redraft. But very interesting to just note how things quickly change in 6 weeks of fantasy football, guys.
Yep.
Everybody happy with their first round team?
Championship.
All right, let's move on to some news and notes. We mentioned Jamal Charles, but his backup, Charkandrick West, he is a must-add with Jamal Charles out, isn't he, JC?
Yeah, I would agree. Got Nile Davis, who's probably – they're very different style runners, but I think Charkandrick West probably has more upside and bigger potential to get the lion's share of the carries.
Arthur, where do you stand on how Kansas City goes with their backfield and their offense in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think JC's got it right, obviously. After Charles went down, we saw Wes get the lion's share of the carries. He's doing a lot more with the opportunities so far. But as I was saying before we started taping, I'm selling any pieces of this Kansas City Chiefs offense I can find that I can get anything for, because I don't trust Alex Smith to be able to put his team on his back. And we know how bad that offensive line has been, and we know how bad that defense has been. So this is a pretty ugly situation. And as a guy who owned Jamaal Charles in two leagues, I'm sitting in a pretty ugly situation right now. So just thought I'd throw that out there as well. It was a tough week in fantasy.
You know, Alex Smith confuses me. If you recall that playoff game a couple years ago against the Colts, just lighten it up. He seems to have all the ability in the world. But if you watch the game on Sunday, I mean, if he would have fallen out of a boat, he wouldn't have hit water. I don't know what's going on there, but he's going to have to step up, or this is going to be an ugly season for the Chiefs.
Totally agree with you on that. One short-term ad, especially if you're in a PPR league, Darren McFadden. We've been waiting for the Cowboys running back situation to kind of sort itself out with Lance Dunbar out. Joseph Randall's been seen to be handling the rushing game, but Darren McFadden had 9 catches Sunday for 62 yards. Arthur, I think McFadden may be their short-term, at least in the short term, their passing guy on third downs.
Yeah, I just want to say it one more time, short-term. I believe that's the operative phrase here. Darren McFadden is healthy now. How long we can depend on that, I don't know. So, you know, I think given what we've seen of late, yeah, sure, he's the guy you want to roll with. But I just, you know, I wouldn't be too optimistic about this situation. And I think if you look at the next couple weeks for that Cowboys offense, they've got some pretty good run defenses coming. So if you're leaning on McFadden just in that receiving role, fine. But that's another kind of, you know, sketchy situation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Dallas has a bye week coming up. Then they're at the Giants, and they've got the Seahawks, Philly, at Tampa, at Miami. So I think if you're in a PPR league, maybe worth adding a speculative ad going forward. Want you guys to rank a couple of quarterbacks for me going forward. Guys I did not think would be fantasy relevant, and it turns out they might be. So, JC, we'll start with you. Here are the three QBs. Blake Bortles, Jay Cutler, Josh McCown. If you would have told me a month ago that we'd be talking about those three, I'd say, ugh. And now, maybe fantasy relevant, especially if you're streaming?
Yeah, and they're, most of the three, in most leagues, they're all available. Jay Cutler, the least available of the three. It's interesting, I agree with you. You would never thought we'd have this conversation about these three guys and unless we were talking about the starter most likely to lose his job. But if you look at this, all three of them have brutal schedules ahead. They're all bad, but let me just read you Josh McCown's. Denver, at St. Louis, Arizona, at Cincy, at Pitt, bye, Baltimore, Cincinnati, San Francisco, probably the only decent matchup, at Seattle, at Kansas City. So I'm ranking him dead last. Bortles' schedule's pretty ugly, too. I'd put him number two. All three of them also are banged up. I'd rank him second. And Cutler has a tough schedule, but if Alshon Jeffrey comes back, I think he's the leader of the three.
Arthur, where do you got those three?
Yeah, I actually have them in the order you originally listed them. I like, and this is, of course, learning more information, excuse me, about the shoulder injury of Blake Bortles, because that is a potential concern. He's got a type 1 or a level 1, whatever you call it, AC sprain. So we need to see where that goes. But I'm starting to believe a little bit in Blake Bortles. I'm also believing in his supporting cast, obviously, with Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and now Julius Thomas back in the fold. So I've got Bortles number one. I've got Cutler number two for many of the same reasons. If he gets Alshon back, I think it can only go one way for that Chicago offense that's up. And I really like what I've seen from Cutler with Adam Gase. And then Josh McCown, I've got last. Yes, he's thrown for a bajillion yards over the past 3 weeks. But for me, this would be a classic case of paying for past performance, because there's no way what he's doing right now is sustainable, especially with some of the tough matchups that JC alluded to.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that, Arthur. I'm with you on the rankings too. Bortles threw for 4 touchdowns last week, and he gets Houston this week. Houston has been surprisingly fallible on defense.
They have. It is in Houston, and after that, he's got Buffalo, then a bye, and then at the Jets.
Maybe the last week you would want to.
Let's talk about Bortles after that Jets game, and let's just review how he's looked. But you never know. You never know.
I think that's a good strategy. Let's talk about some young wide receivers. Jamison Crowder, 8 receptions for 87 yards for Washington last week. Marquise Wilson, we all saw what he did for the Bears, and as long as Alshon Jeffery and Eddie Royal are limited or out, Jay Cutler appears to trust him. And Willie Snead, a guy we brought up last week, 6 catches for 141 yards. He's seen an increase in snaps every single week. JC, what are you doing with these three guys? Are they must-adds? Are you waiting and seeing on some of these guys? Where do you stand?
I think the closest to a must-add there would be Snead. He certainly deserves a spot on your roster. New Orleans can drive you crazy. I mean, a guy can have 6 catches one week and then, you know, 1 target the next week. It's just they really mix it up in New Orleans, and they're not having a particularly good year anyway. But he's the best of the three, and Marquise Wilson to me would be next. I think even as receivers get healthy for Chicago, if they ever do, I still think he'll be part of the mix. So he's worth. He could be an end of the roster guy. Jamison Crowder's 5'8". He has no touchdowns. He has had 6, 7, and 8 receptions respectively the last 3 weeks. So maybe you take a flyer on him, but I think the other two guys are solid.
Arthur, we saw Marquise Wilson. Jay Cutler really does appear to trust him so far, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought what was telling was 2 weeks ago when Wilson had the drop on the final drive, and then Cutler went back to him 2 plays later, and he came up with the 2 huge catches to help beat the Raiders. Now, you could argue that what choice did he have? You're looking at Mark Mariani, Josh Bellamy, Zach Miller, some of these other guys who really shouldn't be on the field at all. But, yeah, no, you do see a rapport building there. So, you know, an exciting guy. I'm kind of going to go against the grain here with Jamison Crowder. He's the biggest game breaker of the three. I think he has maybe the least standing in his way. Yeah, Willie Snead is in pretty good shape too with Marcus Colston's injury. But I just love Crowder's ability to take the top off of defense. We haven't seen it yet, but I like that speed a lot. And as JC said, I really like the way that his involvement has increased over the past 3 weeks. And I don't see any reason why that shouldn't continue. So he's a guy who excites me a little bit at this point.
Definitely. All three guys, if they're available in your leagues, definitely worth looking at, especially if you've had a couple of rough weeks. We're going to move on to some DFS stuff. The controversy sort of continues, but there were some big news from the big two companies, DraftKings and FanDuel, that came out this week or last week. First, they have banned employees from playing on other DFS sites. So if you work at DraftKings, you can no longer play on FanDuel and vice versa. I thought that was a big step. I also thought it's really silly that that wasn't a rule in the first place. They're also bringing in third-party audits. They're bringing in some companies, some lawyers, to take a look at their current best practices and where they can get better. Is it enough to earn back trust? I wrote this in my analysis piece last week. I think it might be. Those were the two big things that I wanted to see from them, and they've done them, and they've done them inside a week. So, Arthur, are you still playing on daily, or are you kind of wait and see?
No, I'm playing, and I think that, you know, you said it. They were two things that had to happen, and it's promising that they did. I don't think they really had much choice, but at the same time, they were the two biggest concerns, I believe, for daily players at this point. So you get those out of the way, and I think it's clear that this thing isn't going away anytime soon. It's just a monster industry that's blowing up, and it's going to be a longer process. This is more than anything. This is the first big test to see kind of how bulletproof they are, if you will, right now. And for me, it's what I needed to see. I'm back on board, but I know it's not the last we're going to hear of this. And I believe there's been some class action suits that have been started too. So there's a lot more to come of this story, I believe.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot more to come on this. I think that, like you said, this was a big step. These are the two things that had to happen. So I'm playing, but I'm playing small stakes, which is really what I was doing anyway. But I'm not putting in any big money. We've also got some state legislatures that are now making some noise that this is a potential opportunity for them, I think, to capture some tax money and get in some regulation. Illinois is not currently involved in that, but we may be making some phone calls to find out what our local representatives think and whether this is something they should be involved at. JC, should the state of Illinois get involved in legislating any sort of gambling on this?
Yeah, well, absolutely. When there's a mess, you need to call the state of Illinois to have it cleaned up. Because there's no doubt that they'll just get right to the bottom of it. You know, I don't know so much about government regulation, but you need to be able to trust who the third party is. And I think if you can, it doesn't have to be government regulated. If it can help the state with taxes, great. The thing I'll say about the banning employees from playing on other sites, I think you have to do it, but it is almost irrelevant because nothing's going to stop somebody from just taking their friend and saying, hey, Joe, here's who you should play, and I'll give you 10% of the winnings. So
it's a good point.
So it's a step they had to take, but it's relatively unimportant. But the third-party deal, that would be, I think, a step. And as long as you can trust that third party, I think that probably cleans this up pretty quickly.
Yeah, still a lot of questions about data and who has access to it. And JC brought up some great points. So we'll continue to try and stay on top of this and see where this goes, and hopefully talk a little bit more about it next week. Couple of things before we go, a couple of top plays that everyone's got. We're just going to do quarterback, wide receiver, and running back this week. JC, who are your top plays at quarterback this week?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, if I have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, I'm definitely playing those guys. You know who else would be a good play this week is Marcus Mariota. He could be a top five guy with their matchup this week at home. So those are the two no-brainers and one kind of off-speed pitch for you.
Arthur, how about you at quarterback?
I'm going to defer to you on quarterback. I got a guy lined up for running back. I got a guy lined up at tight end. Maybe by the time you're done, I'll have a quarterback for you.
All right.
What do you got,
John? All the Tom Brady. If you're playing daily, it's all the Tom Brady this week. Like I said, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he threw for five or six touchdowns against Indianapolis. This is a total Deflategate revenge game. I think Brady's upset. Not only that, but this is prime time, so it's a Sunday night game. He's going to be having that national audience taking a look at him. They're on the road. It's Brady and really nobody else for me. I'm all aboard that narrative, Arthur.
That over-under in that game is 55, and if you look at, I do the matchups to exploit and avoid, and there's a lot to avoid and not many to exploit. There's only two lines that are anywhere near 50. It's the Atlanta-New Orleans game and then that game. It's a tough week. I had four must starts on the Patriots. So I think I'm with you there. That's going to be a big game.
Arthur?
I'm sorry about that, guys. I was obviously a little unprepared. I'll throw two out there for you. After watching what Eli Manning did last week, he goes to Philadelphia. That's going to be a high-scoring affair. I really have been very, very impressed with the way Manning has bounced back after the difficult start. And then an even more obvious one is Carson Palmer. Obviously, you saw what Phillip Rivers did to that Pittsburgh defense last night. Palmer's on a roll. Arizona is actually on pace to become the highest-scoring team in NFL history. So get all the Cardinals stock you can. Obviously, all right.
A couple of good points there from Arthur. JC, any running back in particular stick out to you this week?
Yeah, again, I'll just pull him from the first round of our draft. Lacy against a San Diego team the wheels could be coming off there. Brutal loss, short week. I look for Green Bay to beat them up pretty good. Interesting game to me with the Bears going up to Detroit. You could play – if you have Forte, you're going to play him. But if you believe Detroit's just going to become a complete train wreck, the Bears might actually be a good play. I don't know if I believe that. I just can't believe Detroit's defense has gotten so bad so fast. But also, Devontae Freeman has a great matchup on Thursday night against a Saints defense that is ranked dead last. Thank you, Rob Ryan. So that's another great matchup.
No one has ever lost money going against a Rob Ryan defense.
How does that guy keep getting a job? I don't get it. I thought last year when they were ranked like 26, that would be enough, but apparently not. And then we have to watch him because they won't even go to the head coach. They'll just flash on him all night long. But hopefully we'll put him out of his misery this year.
Arthur, anybody you're looking at running back this week?
Yeah, I'll give you two. I think Melvin Gordon, I feel like we're getting close here. He had the big fumble on Monday Night Football. The Chargers went right back to him. Yes, that offensive line is a disaster, but it's nice to see him getting used in the passing game, and the Packers just let Todd Gurley run wild. So Gordon at $6,500 on FanDuel, not a bad play. And even better value in going back to that Giants-Philly matchup. I know people are frustrated with this Giants backfield situation, but given the receiving injuries, Shane Vereen, $5,600. He had a big day last week, and he's clearly the top option in that receiving situation. And it seems like they're losing a little bit of faith in Andre Williams, so maybe more opportunities across the board for him.
Yeah, I like both those picks. I like Lacy. If you're on DraftKings, he's $6,300. That's perfectly reasonable, and his price keeps going down. If you believe that the Patriots are going to throw all over the Colts, Deion Lewis is the receiving running back at $5,800. That's not a bad pick. JC, wide receiver, anybody look particularly good to you?
Might be a good week for Demaryius Thomas. You're going to Cleveland. Peyton Manning, boy, it just is getting hard to watch him. He really is struggling. But you figure he's going to have a couple good games, and this might be one of them. Here's another thought. You got Andrew Luck coming back. The Patriots are going to score a ton of points. The Colts are going to be throwing the ball left and right. T.Y. Hilton, this might be the week he finally breaks out.
Arthur, where do you stand on wide receivers?
I mean, James Jones, you haven't gone wrong playing him yet. $6,600 on FanDuel gets a Chargers defense that has been really, really problematic. So that seems like a solid play there. And, sticking with the same... Yeah, no, let's go away from that. How about John Brown at $6,100? Finally broke through with a touchdown last week for Arizona. As great as Larry Fitzgerald has been, there's obviously enough footballs to go around with what's going on out in the desert right now.
Yeah, James Jones has one trick, but it's a heck of a trick, guys. It just seems to find the end zone.
That was a long touchdown last week, man.
It was.
65-yarder, I think. He hasn't ran that far in a couple of years, I'm pretty sure.
I still feel bad for Martavis Bryant. He caught one ball for a touchdown, and Gruden gave it to Antonio Brown. So, I mean, a guy can't win out there.
I'll throw out one more. Jordan Matthews, Giants-Phillies. Giants Eagles. I'm in baseball mode here. Giants Eagles could potentially shoot out, I think. I still don't believe in the Giants secondary. And Jordan Matthews is stuck around $6,200 on DraftKings.
And guys, do we know if Odell Beckham is there's probably not been an update on him. He did come back to the game. If he plays, I think he's a good play.
I'm with you on that. No real update yet on Odell Beckham. I think we will find out as the week goes on. Something to monitor for everybody. We will end with tight ends. JC, where do you got him?
Well, if I had Gronkowski, I might think about playing him.
Might be a decent play.
You know, I go back to the Bears. Martellus Bennett got a ton of targets. They threw the kitchen sink at him, though. But let's just assume the Bears can figure out a way to spread the ball a little bit more. He might be a good play up at Detroit again. If Detroit is really going to, if the wheels are coming off there, that might be a good pick.
Arthur, where are you looking at tight end this week?
You know, the matchup is daunting, but it's clear this Gary Barnage thing is real.
Yeah.
Dude is exploding,
great,
and he's
yeah.
the eighth price tight end on FanDuel. He has Denver, as we've talking about. That's not ideal, but Gary Barnage has been great. And moving down the list a little bit, I like Richard Rodgers. He's making steady progress in that offense. There hasn't been any word on Davante Adams getting back yet. Richard Rodgers only $5,100 on FanDuel. If he could just find the end zone, he's going to have a nice play for everyone.
That's a nice one. I'm looking at one. The matchup is kind of daunting, but Derek Carrier, the Washington tight end, he had a couple receptions last week and a touchdown. Todd Bowles' defenses generally don't do that great against tight end. I think that they're going to have to throw. So Derek Carrier, he's the minimum salary on DraftKings. So if you're looking for a punt, you could do worse than that, I think. That'll do it for the podcast. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com. From our fantasy experts, and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared to help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Fall is here, and you can count on the dependable and long-lasting Silverado to be your harvesting partner. Check out all the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today, and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guests on today's show, JC Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.